basically my presentation I put together talks about hope and where we can find hope. Okay. And I'm going to answer the, are any of you guys done this in your English class with the who, what, when, where, why? Do you have to answer that like when you do an essay or whatever? And then final tips and takeaways. So this is just a little bit about me. These are my favorite pictures of my family. I graduated from college a long time ago with a degree in social work, and I worked in family services and with therapeutic foster care. And then my husband is a pastor, and when he went to seminary and after seminary, then I started doing youth ministry. So I've been doing youth ministry for about 25 years. The first part of my youth ministry was all volunteer. And then it was about 10, 15 years into it, I decided that I wanted to see what it would take to get my DCE certification. And they said, you can get your DCE certification and a master's in theology, which I thought was very helpful, from Concordia Irvine. So I did that program. And then a couple years after that, I decided that my husband was in, because you guys aren't very rural. You guys are the closest thing. You guys are close to things. But where we were in Missouri, there was no therapist anywhere. I mean, for a person to go see a counselor, it was a good hour, hour and a half. So I started a program. So I am a licensed therapist as well in Nebraska. So I kind of have a dual purpose. I do DCE stuff, but I also do therapy with kids and teens. Hope is a big thing for me because I see a lot of kids your age who are really struggling with that. I think that here we have the gift that because you guys have a Christian faith, that gives us something to ground it in. But when we don't have that Christian faith, that makes a whole big difference. So, the picture on the far left is at my, God's or grandson Otto's baptism. And I love that picture because first of all five of my children are in it. I've got three boys and two girls. My mother-in-law is the one in the middle who's posing like there's no crazy going on around her, which is so typical for her because she always keeps it together. But then, I have seven grandchildren too. So I have five grandsons and two granddaughters. So we have lots of wrestling and craziness that goes on when everybody gets together. And then this is the baptism up here of our youngest grandchild, Ida. And then that's Niall because they weren't born when that picture was taken. So let's see. So I'm going to skip this slide and go to this. So tell me if you had somebody ask you, how do you define hope? How would you define it? I know it's really late in the day and everybody's just kind of done and it's really hard. But if you just had, and it doesn't need to be a fancy answer, but if somebody said, hey, what does hope mean? How would you define it? A light in the darkness. I like that answer. What? A belief that something good is going to happen. Right. How do you think the world defines hope? And when I say the world, I mean the secular, the people who are not Christians, you know, the things that we're, where the world we live in, how do they describe hope? Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you say greatness in the hardest time? Okay. And the hope that we're going to talk about today is different than the hope that says, oh, I hope I get a good grade, or, oh, I hope I get chosen for, I don't know, the play or to be first string on the football team or soccer team or whatever the case might be. What we're going to be talking about today is a hope that's based on what would you say is the first point where your identity as a Christian comes into play? That wasn't really a very good, well-worded question. We'll wait on that. Okay. So Webster defines hope as a verb or a noun, a desire accompanied by anticipation or expectation, a wanting for something to happen or be true. Like, oh, I hope I get a good grade. Oh, I hope I get that car for Christmas. I hope my parents will let me go to that party on Friday, whatever it is. But as Christians, we define hope as centered on Christ, right? That's where all of our hope is based. And and our identity is solidified in what action in the church? You guys probably don't remember it. It is a worship thing, but where we get sprinkled with water, our baptism, right? Were you guys all baptized as infants? Yeah. So you don't really remember the baptism, but we do remember the baptism because we should every day, because that baptismal action, who does the, you guys are all confirmed, right? Okay. Who does the action in baptism? God. It's more specifically the Holy Spirit, right? We don't have to do anything, do we? Because do you guys know what the difference between this relationship and this relationship? Have you guys learned that in confirmation? The horizontal relationship and the vertical relationship? No? Have you never heard that before? Okay, that's all right. So your horizontal relationships are those relationships where what we're doing here with other people. But then there's the vertical relationship with it's between God and man. And at baptism, God comes down to us. We don't have to do anything for baptism, right? We don't have to say, oh, we believe. We don't have to say, oh, we've done all these good works. We don't have to do any of that, right? You guys know about grace and how that works. So, okay. So for the word hope, I looked up what the word for hope is in Hebrew. Does anybody know? It's kind of a cool word. Go home and impress your pastor and tell him. It's tikva. Hope in Hebrew is tikva. Am I saying that right? Okay, tikva. And then it means a cord or a rope. So if you think about that vertical, it's that rope that keeps us connected to our Lord. Okay, and then it's related to the verb, and this is the one I'm going to need help on. Kuva? Kwava? Huh? Kava. Kava. And that's where we wait. Okay. So we're waiting for the hope, or we're in that waiting, because where will everything be perfect? In heaven. Is it going to be perfect this side of heaven? No. And that's where that hope comes in, that we can believe that even on those really crummy days. Have you guys ever had a really crummy day? What happens on your crummy days? What makes your day crummy? School. Yeah, I think that's fair. School. Anything else? What? 0-for-3 in a baseball. Yeah, and you get so frustrated, right? That makes for a bad day. What else? Any of you guys drivers? When you're driving, did you ever get really frustrated because you get cut off? Or if you hit the snooze alarm one too many times and you're trying to hurry to school and you hit a billion stoplights and people, the slowest moving vehicles in the county, decide to pull out in front of you. I've had days where I think, does it have a sign on the front of my car that says, please pull out in front of me if you're going to drive slow? Anyway, so all of those things kind of work into that, right? And we might not feel hopeless. We might feel frustrated, angry, annoyed, whatever. But when you feel those things over and over again, it can kind of lead to that hopelessness. And when you say hopeless for school, do you struggle in school? Oh, that's really not a fair question. I'm not going to ask that. Sorry. Other people? Okay, so the peer pressure. Are you okay sharing a little bit more about that and how that works? Mm-hmm. And that can make you feel really hopeless, can't it? Because I don't know about what it's like in Texas or in Wisconsin or Arkansas, but in Nebraska, I think bullying is one of the hardest things, because as an adult, you know, my first instinct is I want to go in and say, you can't do that. That's not right. But because of all of those silly rules about, well, we don't have any proof. Have you ever heard that? We have no proof. We have to see them in action. You ever heard that? Or we have to hear them do it, which makes it very, very hard to deal with those things, doesn't it? And that can make you feel hopeless when you feel like the adults in your life aren't able to help you, right? That's a really good example. What about when your peers are, I don't know what the right way is. I don't know how you guys talk today. I don't know. I would say they're just being jerks. And, you know, the people for girls, I'm not picking on you, but you know, they're your best friend today, and then tomorrow they're with another friend group or they're with somebody else and you're stuck. And it's like, oh, wait a second. I had all these friends and now I don't have any. Is that, not that you've seen it, that you've had it happen, but have you seen that happen? Or there's that, does that happen with boys as much? Yeah, a little bit. And that's a feeling of hopelessness and loneliness, right? When you feel like you don't have anybody. So this hope that we talk about and that what I'm talking about today, if you listened at all to Flame last night, I looked at my husband and I'm like, okay, that's my whole presentation. He just took everything that I was going to say, because it's, you know, our identity in Christ, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The bullies, the jerky people, the teachers that don't listen to us, the adults that don't listen to us, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He is always there. Always. Do you guys know of any time in scripture where he didn't do what he said he would do? No, because he speaks the truth and he follows through. And one of my favorite, one of my best friends, she always likes to talk about how the Israelites in the Old Testament, God would tell them to do something and they wouldn't do it. And so then they'd have to march around and they couldn't get into the promised land because they just couldn't get in their heads that when God says you need to do something, you're going to do it. But God held true to what he said and they did get into the promised land and he provided them that protection. And the other thing, do any of you guys know when the first promise of hope is in the Bible? Do you guys know where that's at? What? Genesis. Do you know what it was? Not Moses, a little bit earlier than Moses. The serpent, because after the fall, God created everything and it was good. And you know, when I was researching for this, I could have gone on that whole tangent, but since it's a small group, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. But God, after every day, he said, and it was good, right? And so he says everything was good and it was perfect. And he creates Adam and he formed him. Everything else in creation, what did he do? He spoke it into being. But how did he create Adam differently? Because he took the dirt and he formed him in his hands. You know, we can speak things into being, but when you take something, have you ever made something with your own hands? And you're really proud of it, you think about that. God loved Adam and he wanted to make him exactly, you know, formed every part and being of him and put him together. And he loved him. And then he creates Eve. Why did he create Eve for Adam? He didn't want man to be alone. He wanted them to be in fellowship with one another. So that's the earliest time that we hear about that. And then what ends up happening? They eat from the tree. The one thing that God said, you can have this. And I just, in my mind, I envision this beautiful garden that just has everything you could possibly want. But then they go to the one tree. They pull from it. But does God look at him and say, I'm done with you. You're out of here. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. No, he promises in Genesis 3:15, you will crush the serpent's head. And that's the first promise of a savior right there. He says, I'm going to send you somebody so that you don't have to live this way. But the hard part is we have to live in a sin-fallen world now, right? And that makes it difficult because that's where the hopelessness comes from. That's Satan. He wants us to be hopeless. He wants us to not have that eternal hope, because what does that mean for him? He doesn't win, right? He doesn't get to win that fight. So anyway, that was my little rabbit hole that I went down. But anyway, so when we just talked about when we see the hope, it's the first time in Genesis 3:15. But where can we participate in hopeful things in the church? This is kind of a confirmation question. What's something that God gives to us? Baptism, we know. What's the other sacrament? Holy Communion, where we can receive that grace, receive that hope every time communion is offered. Is communion offered every Sunday at your church? every other, you guys have every Sunday. So you get to partake in that every week. And that grace and that hope is just showered upon you. It's done throughout the week, but that's that special moment in Holy Communion when you can have that. So participating in the sacraments is really, really important. Do you guys have your gathering Bibles with you? Would you guys mind looking up some passages and reading them for me? Right, because he's going to be with us. We don't have to, and it's hard. Guys, I know I work with teenagers. I work with junior high kids. Are all you guys in high school? Everybody in high school? It's hard. It's hard being your age. If I could go back in time, I would not want to go to high school. I would not want, definitely not junior high, because everybody's trying to figure out who they are, right? And how many of you guys are freshmen and sophomore? Okay. Are you guys juniors and seniors then? Okay. It's better, I think, as you get to be junior, senior, don't you? You kind of find your stride. You kind of feel that you're kind of getting there. But that sixth grade, maybe fifth grade even, to ninth, 10th grade, oh my gosh, that's a hard time. Trying to figure out where you fit in, who you're supposed to hang with, who are the people you can trust, all of those things. And then once you get in, I'm just going to tell you this. I don't know. Are any of you guys going to go to college? Is it your plan to go to college? College is way better. It's even better than high school because you get to find your people and nobody really cares. I mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's like, who cares if you are a farm guy or a city kid? There's just so much more acceptance in college. There's not the bullying. There's not the, because you're adults. And it's like, I don't know. So there's hope. There's that hope that it's going to get better. Okay. So, and why do we know? Why do we know that this is true? Yes. That's a good parent. You're going to be a good parent someday. Because how many times do you ever hear that from your parents? I said so. That's why. When you say, why do I have to do this? And they're like, because I said so. But that's exactly why here. God said so throughout scripture from Genesis 3. Well, actually from Genesis 1 when he said everything was good, all the way through to the end. He says it and he follows through. And we know that he keeps his promises regardless of the dumb things we do, regardless of the sins that we commit. He loves us unconditionally. Now, that doesn't mean you need to keep going. You know, if you know that you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, you don't continue to do it. But when you're forgiven, you have that gift of salvation. Because sometimes, would you say you're always 100% faithful? Yeah, I'm not either. That's just human nature. Okay, so one of the things, I've read this book and I really, really like it. It's by a pastor in St. Louis. It's called Loved and Sent. If you want to, it's an easy book. It's not really hard. It's all levels, but anyway. And he talks about being loved and sent, and it changes our perspective when we look at how God has created us and what he's created us to be. Now, right now, do any of you know what you want to do when you're 25? What do you want to do? You want to be a pastor? Awesome. So that calling is on your heart. Does anybody else know what they want to do when they're that age? What would you like? You want to be a veterinarian? Okay. Anybody else? You want to be a nurse? Okay. Do you know? That's okay. Neither of you guys know yet. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think that when we look at being a veterinarian, being a nurse, being a DCE, being a therapist, being a pastor, those are all things that we're labeled with. But what's the one true identity that we need to stay focused on in all of those jobs? Being God's child. And that's why I love your shirt. I love chosen. You are chosen. You know, that passage in I think it's First Peter, where they talk about you're a royal priesthood. That's my favorite passage. Because when you think about that, guys, he didn't just whip you together and, okay, whatever. He knows each of you by name. He knows each of you that you are chosen by God. That is so big. And like, I don't remember, because everything's running together. I don't remember if it was a mass event or if it was in something I was reading, but he loved us enough to send his son to die on the cross, that's a pretty big deal. And Jesus, you know, did he want to do it all the time? Because his human side kind of came out and he's like, you know, God, if you take this from me in the Garden of Eden, or not Garden of Gethsemane. And he was kind of had that human side was coming out like, oh, come on. Can you take this from me, Lord? But God said, no, you know, this is what you're going to, and he did it and he followed through because he loves us so that we don't have to go through that. That's a pretty big love. And so anyway, but in this, navigating when you're feeling hopeless, I think one of the things, and first of all, I'm going to say this right now, I am not diminishing anything with hopelessness. I don't want you to know that. I don't want to say that you can, oh, you shouldn't be hopeless because you have God. I'm saying that we need to focus on that. But I know that sometimes working in the mental health field, it's hard. It's very hard when you feel depressed, when you feel hopeless. But these are some things that I think that if you're feeling that way, that can help you. Be in worship regularly. Be in prayer, whether you're praying for yourself or you're praying for somebody else. And if you can't pray because you don't know, ask someone to pray for you. Do you guys know who can you ask to pray for you? Your friend? Yes, good. I love that she's the first one you met. What did you say? Anybody. But more specifically, you can go to your pastor. I don't know. My experience, I've never had a pastor that I couldn't say, you know, would you please say a few prayers for me that I didn't know that he was praying for me? You can ask your church to pray for you. That's being very vulnerable to put it out there for the whole church. But you can ask a teacher. You can ask a youth leader. You can ask your parents. I know sometimes that's a little hard because sometimes we don't want our parents to know what we're going through, but I guarantee you, I'm a parent of five. I would love to have my kids, and I think they pretty much did most of the time, let me know that they needed those prayers without giving me a lot of information because I still am their mother. But asking those people, those trusted people in your life to pray for you, because sometimes it's hard to pray for ourselves when we just don't know what to pray for. And it's okay sometimes to say, Lord, I don't know what to pray for. Please pray. Please help me. Please help me get through this. And you know, as teenagers, I don't know, did any of you ever struggle with, I'm not good enough? You know, I don't measure up. Nobody likes me. All of those things that Satan likes to play on redial in your head all the time. So when we feel like we aren't good enough for whatever it is, God knows. And God knows that that's going on and he's there for you. Turn to him. Turn to Christ. So finding those places, whether that's going to youth group. I know for some kids, going to youth group can be difficult when they're feeling that way. Go to your youth leader. Go to your pastor. Go to your teacher, whoever it is. But always remember, God loves you and he will love you through all of that. There's nothing you guys can do ever that would make him not love you. And I think that they did a nice job of that last night at the mass event, kind of saying that and letting us know the different scenarios. So I'm not really going to get into that. So I have a quote from that book. It says, "Grace knows the harsh reality that humans cannot reach up to the divine, so the divine reaches down to humanity." And I love that because it's God's always taking care of us. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to, you know, that's the nice thing about Lutheranism. We don't have to have a list of things that we have to do to be perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect this side of heaven, right? Because this world is full of sin. So we're going to sin. I mean, all of us, I don't know, I've sinned several times today. Just in our thoughts and our frustrations. And I'm not proud of it, but I know I'm forgiven. And I know that God still loves me and he's still there for me. So on that note, what do you guys have for any questions? Is there anything? Because I'm not going to go on and on. Because like I said, most of what he said last night, and it's only five, but what time do you guys have to meet your groups to eat? Are you going to eat tonight? Do you get to eat tonight? What time do you meet? 5:30? 5:30. Okay. So do you guys have any questions about, because this is a presentation on where we find the hope. We know we find the hope in Christ, right? And we find our hope in the fact that we're a loved child of God, a baptized child of God, a chosen child of God. So where is that hard for you guys? Because I know it is. It's hard for me. Temptation. Mm-hmm. And you know, I learned something just recently about how temptation and sin, that there's just a real fine line between those two things, you know, and that's kind of hard when you're dealing with that temptation, isn't it? Hope can also be found in faith and in grace. I mean, there's a lot of other words that could be kind of aligned with that. So, well, if you guys don't have any other questions, I'm going to pray. But before I do that, I've got some keychains and some wristbands and some, what did we decide we were going to call those? Decals. That are some that you can put on your water bottle or on your laptop, but please do not put it anywhere else. But they're like uplifting. Some of them are scripture passages. I think there's a You Are Chosen one in there. And then, unless it got taken yesterday, but you're welcome to take, because I brought a bunch and you guys are a small group, so you guys take whatever you want, because I just have one more session of this. So, but let me say a prayer. Does anybody have any specific prayer requests? Huh? Did you guys get affected by the floods? Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. So when we talk about hope, that's a biggie because of the damage that's been. So you guys were still able to come. That's great that you were able to still get here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these young people. And thank you for the fact that they're here today and here at this gathering. Lord, we ask that you be with each of them as they head back to their congregations and to their communities and to their schools, that you might always remind them and give them the people that they need to remind them of the hope that they have. Lord, we're thankful for their youth leaders that brought them, as well as their pastors and their parents. And we just ask that you continually provide them with what they need to know how loved they are as your chosen and baptized child. And Lord, we ask a special prayer for those in Kerrville who are suffering from the immense and destructive floodwaters. We ask that you be with this youth, their youth group as they head back, and they will probably be doing a lot of work, that they might be kept safe and that no more lives are lost in that, and that you be with the families who lost loved ones in the flooding. Lord, we ask that you be with each of us as we leave this place tonight to give us safe travels to our destinations for dinner, as well as onto the dome. And we ask that you bless our worship this evening and as we listen to the speakers and sing your praises through everything that we do there. In your name we pray. Amen.